Most people learned how to write when they learned to write by writing essays. So if you learned to write in school, or even you did an MBA program or some other kind of business training, you learned to write basically essays or long form writing. This is several sentences, it's long in format, it has a lot of detail to it. In some cases, you may have learned technical writing. Some people learn to write technically. This is also not the correct style for addressing executives. So technical writing has not only a lot of detail, but it's specific to your field. Okay, so cross out both of those. Neither writing essays nor technical writing will help you in communicating upward or to executives. So what is the correct style of writing for executives? This isn't just writing, it's also speaking and presenting. So what is the correct style? The correct style of writing is journalistic in nature.
This is the Being Coachable podcast with your host, Jill Chappie. Get ready to challenge your assumptions, expand your thinking, and walk away with concrete steps to help you level up your leadership, business acumen, and personal growth. It's time to get coachable.
Hello and welcome. This is episode 007. It's the James Bond episode. This is episode 7, and our topic today is the right style for executives. So today we are talking about communicating to an executive audience, and honestly, any business audience. So what do you need to do to get your message across to any business audience, but particularly upward? If you work in an organization where you have people above you, this is the podcast for you. So knowing how to communicate to an executive audience is important because most people communicate in too much detail or make another big mistake that turns the listener off. I will tell you what it is in just a moment, so hang tight. But suffice it to say, without knowing this particular mistake, you will continue to struggle with getting your message across to those that you want to influence. So welcome to the podcast. This is episode 7. My name is Jill Chappie, and I've been an executive coach for 24 years, mostly in Silicon Valley and with technology companies. I work on leadership development in my client companies. This means I help develop people who are currently leading teams, and I make them better leaders slash better executives. To do that, I look at how they are doing downward into their teams, across with their peers, and up to their other executives. So that would be the C-level of the organization, or potentially the SVP level, just depending on where the person sits. I mostly work with VP level and above people, so their seniors are people who are SVP level, C-level, etc. So it gives you an idea of where they sit in the organization. So there's always an org chart. There are people above you, there are people below you, there are people to the side of you, and I help people to communicate in better ways to all of those different groups. So I've learned over the years that most people have not been taught how to communicate up, particularly in an organization. So they learned how to communicate down sometimes, or sometimes across, or realistically, they might not know any of these as well. But up in particular seems to vex people. So they resort to trying to read the mind of the executive that they're trying to influence. Now, why do you need to communicate upward? Well, you need to pass information for one thing, but sometimes you want to get an idea across because you want to change something, or you want to let somebody know about something good that your team did, or you want to make a request for something, whether that's headcount or resources of some other kind, or even to change an MBO or a KPI, right? So you want to be able to communicate upward. But what most people do is they try to figure out what it is that the executive would want to hear, and they try to craft their message that way. Or they just run their business or their area in the way they think the executive would want. This doesn't always achieve what they want to achieve. So when they resort to mind reading, they sometimes are wrong and they get the message wrong. So my job is to help people correctly communicate all directions, but especially upward. So here are my key points about this. So number one, when talking to executives, they want two things above all. Two, clarity and concision. So none of us have a lot of time, but anybody who works in a large organization, especially a fast-moving technology company, doesn't have a lot of extra time on their hands. So that means that they are pressed for time. So they need bullet points. They need things to be concise. They need things to be clear. What are you trying to say? Nobody's reading a 10-page email these days. Nobody's reading a message that's three screens long. So just don't do it. So clarity, concision, okay? Make it short, make it clear. Second, this is number two. Most people learned how to write when they learned to write by writing essays. So if you learn to write in school, or even you did an MBA program or some other kind of business training, you learn to write basically essays or long form writing. This is several sentences. It's long in format. It has a lot of detail to it. In some cases, you may have learned technical writing. Some people learn to write technically. This is also not the correct style for addressing executives. So technical writing has not only a lot of detail, but it's specific to your field. Okay, so cross out both of those. Neither writing essays nor technical writing will help you in communicating upward or to executives. So what is the correct style of writing for executives? And now this isn't just writing, it's also speaking and presenting. But normally when we present, we have at least slides or few slides or some kind of document that we're doing as a pre-read, etc. So this applies to that type of communication as well. So what is the correct style? The correct style of writing is journalistic in nature. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have a journalism degree to understand how to do this. It doesn't mean that at all, by the way. So, key points. What do we need to do if we're writing in a journalistic style? Number one, the headline goes first, okay? That means we put the lead, right? You've heard, I'm sure, if it bleeds, it leads. You've probably heard that about journalism. Okay, so that's the key point. If the headline is going to go somewhere, it better be at the top. So when you write an essay, you might summarize things a paragraph in, or you might tell them what you're going to talk about, or it's a whole different style of writing. What journalism does is it puts the headline first, and then the key points go below. So headline first, key points below. Then the third thing is you want to bullet point the key points, specifically in executive writing. So journalistic style doesn't always have that. It might have paragraphs with key points in them, but in writing to an executive, you definitely want to make sure you have your key points in bullet point format, and then you can speak to them if you're presenting. If you're not doing a speaking sort of presentation, that's okay. It starts a conversation, and a person might have a question about a certain bullet point, for example, that you have. So key points, headline goes first, key points below, and then bullet point out the key points. Or you can put numbers if you want. You can do it in kind of an outline format. And you can still summarize at the end if needed. That's a little bit less the journalistic style, but you can summarize if you need to. All right, now point number four. Now, what about a live conversation or presentation? Again, like I said, you still use the same style for your slides, but expect and welcome questions. So what do we mean by that? It could have some Q&A to it. You could have an executive who wants to know more about a particular issue. Consider this a good sign, by the way. If they're asking questions, they're engaged and interested, which means they understand your point. Now, if you feel attacked by questions, that's something you have to practice and work through, and don't worry about it, because that's just something that has to be kind of ironed out over time. In general, we should think of questions as a very good thing. All right, so next, this is number five. Finally, change completely how you focus on your communication. Most people know their area really well, so they spend all of their time telling the listener or the reader all about their area in great detail. Big no. Okay, don't do that. Ask yourself the question, what does the reader or the listener want to hear about? What matters to them? So you can see a great example of this if you want to. Just go on your LinkedIn. Take a look at how people post. Let's say they're posting about some conference they went to. So people will post about how great their product is or their team is. And most of us don't know their teams or what their product is. We don't understand half the acronyms they're using. If they're in a different field than us, we don't really understand what award they won, for example, right? So the problem is they're not thinking about their reader or their listener, right?
Are you hitting a wall as a leader? Do you need an outside perspective to gain clarity and direction? Jill Chappie has over 20 years of experience as an executive coach, helping leaders get unstuck and achieve their goals. She offers straight talk combined with empathy and humor to challenge your assumptions, expand your thinking, reveal your blind spots, and equip you with concrete action steps. If you're ready to level up your leadership and get coachable, click on Leadership Assessment at becoachable.com and then email to schedule your readout. Cost is $99 to get your results. Invest in yourself and your growth. You'll walk away feeling informed, empowered, and ready to implement change. Let's get coachable.
So in this case, in LinkedIn, their reader. So what does the reader know? What does the reader not know about what they're posting? What might be interesting to them? about what you are saying. Why should it matter to them? So this applies to talking to an executive because it's kind of similar to posting on LinkedIn, like you're presenting something, right? Ah, here's this communication about me. Well, the executive may not have enough background to really understand what you're talking about. They might be missing some of the acronyms that you're talking about. Depending on their training and background, you're going to have to feel that out and assess it for yourself. But if you don't know the executive well, don't assume that they know about your area, especially not in great detail. But the main question is, what's interesting for them to know about? What might be interesting to them about what you are saying? What should matter to them? Why should it matter to them? So make any communication upward reader focused. This is the key secret. This is the one I mentioned earlier on in the introduction. This is the secret you need to know about communicating upward. It has to be reader focused or listener focused. So if it's written, reader focused. If it's verbal, listener focused. So focus on the other person. What do they need to hear? What might they be interested in? Finally, if it's live, if you're doing a live presentation, make sure you prepare. Okay, practice your points. Do it a couple times. Why? Not just because you don't want to flub your words, because everybody flubs their words and nobody cares. I've probably flubbed 6 times in this podcast. That's not the point. The point is when you go over and over your material, you actually will have realizations about it. Oh, actually, I just had a good idea about that thing. And you'll shorten it up, you'll tighten it up, you'll make it more clear, you'll make it more concise, you'll make it more reader focused. Those are the 3 things, right? And you will also have realizations about something you might want to do differently and what they might have questions about as well, because maybe even you will have questions as you go through your own material. These are things you need to know. Okay, so let me give you an example of this. So I had a VP of sales for a technology company, and she was trying to present upward to her manager, who was the SVP, about territories and how they should be divided. Okay, she started with this long statement about how the territories are currently divided. So she was taking the SVP through, okay, so this is how we do North America, this is how we do the UK, blah, blah, all these territories. Nope, wrong way to do it, right? So what she should have started with is the headline. And the question to ask herself is, so what am I trying to say here? What am I trying to communicate? The answer in this case was she was trying to communicate that with a small change in territories, the productivity of 2 parts of the team would go up dramatically without much extra effort for the rest of the team. So she was making a case for changing territories in a way to benefit the team, but she didn't lead with that. So as you can imagine, the executive, the SVP, kind of yawned and lost interest, right? So you've got to lead with your headline. Remember, headline first, then bullet points later. So instead, she should have led with, we need to change territories and here's why, bing, right? And then she can put in the data about her team. But again, in bullet point format, you don't have to give a long dissertation about, I was born in a small town and here's where my house was. We don't need to know that. It's not that important. We need to know the key points about why you're making this case. Now, because some problems seem to be difficult to discuss, we often decide to ease into them. That's what I find with people who don't lead with the headline, because they feel like they have to influence somebody, which means they're selling something, and they kind of ease into it like, oh, I don't really want to talk about this topic. No, don't do it. Just give them the headline right between the eyes. Bam, right? So you will lose your audience if you don't. So hit them between the eyes at the start with the headline. Give them the headline like you mean it. And then you can give the bullet points as to why you're making this case. And if they're a little bit taken aback by your headline, don't worry. That's why you launch into the reasons why you're suggesting this. Because, of course, you did your research and you know what your bullet points are. So this is your chance to make your business case, right? Okay, so my unpopular opinion is that so many people worry about talking to their manager because they worry if they do, they will get in trouble, or the manager won't like what I have to say, or they feel like they never influence that person anyway. But what they do instead is they sit around complaining about what doesn't change or what their manager does. So my unpopular opinion is you have not stated your case in a way your manager or other executives can receive it. You have not been reader focused. So if you become reader focused, you won't have this problem of feeling like you can't talk to your manager or manage upward. So apply these simple rules about talking to anyone above you on the org chart. Number one, be clear, be concise. Number two, use the journalistic style, which means lead with the headline, bullet points beneath. Number three, be reader focused or listener focused, depending on whether you're writing or doing something live. These simple tips will take you a long way towards having a rich conversation with your manager or even higher up than that. And that's why I want to tell you my final story of today, which is a person I worked with who is a director of a BDR organization. Now, if you don't know what BDRs are, that's business development reps. So these are the people who cold call or sometimes slightly warm call potential customers to develop leads for the sales organization. I have high respect for these people, by the way, because any BDR team, they're usually young people, they're very energetic, they're very enthusiastic, and they face people they don't know every day and have to build relationships from nothing on a daily basis. So bravo for them. So I love BDRs, right? Great organizations, amazing. And a lot of times these people, because they're so good at what they do and building relationships with people, they move on up in the sales organization. So sorry for that tangent about BDRs. But I worked with this person who was a director over a BDR organization. So director is several levels below the C level. It's quite a bit lower than the C level, right? So this director decided to put together a business case for the CMO, so the chief marketing officer, who was a woman. So he filled his manager in and others, of course, along the way. But to get in front of the CMO, he was handling a particular problem that the marketing organization had always had. So he wanted to specifically speak to her as the CMO, right? Because she was the one who was experiencing this problem across the whole organization. So he put things together and he sent a note via internal messaging to the CMO. And he did it in a great journalistic style, reader focused. And he invited her to come to his team meeting and hear a presentation from his team. So he promised it would only take 15 minutes of her time. She came, she listened, he made it quick, punchy, and engaging, started with his headline, bullet points, bing, and solved a problem she had in the marketing team. He kept it light, right? She ended up staying and talking to his team, by the way, for about an hour. Great outcome for him. So for visibility, for exposure for him, great outcome, and a great outcome for the team because she listened to the idea and she did like it. She didn't end up using the exact idea, but she did something very similar to what he had proposed. So think about who you would like to influence upward and use these rules that I described earlier to make it a success for you. So if you've liked today's podcast about learning to manage up, speak upward into the organization, speak upward, I like it. I think I should call it that. Speak upward. If you've liked this, please follow me on LinkedIn at Coachability, or you can follow me at Jill Chappie also on You can follow me at Jill Chappie as well on LinkedIn. See, sometimes people flub when they talk, right? It's very normal to flub, by the way, and nobody cares. It's not the main point of anything. The main point is to get your headline across and get your key points across upward. So speak upward. And if you want to follow me on LinkedIn, you can also subscribe to me on my YouTube channel or go to my website, which is becoachable.com. So that's becoachable.com. And you can find other episodes of the podcast there, as well as any upcoming courses and other service offerings that we have for you. I do often teach how to do executive presentations, and I teach that as a short, either 1 or 2 hour course that I can do for your team as well. So reach out to my company if you would like us to do this for your company. Thank you for being here today. This has been episode 7 of the Being Coachable podcast. Again, my name is Jill Chappie, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Being Coachable podcast. I hope you found value in today's conversation. If you have any follow-up questions or want to continue the discussion, visit our website at becoachable.com and click on contact. Join our mailing list to receive offers for reduced cost leadership assessments and team building sessions. You can also find show notes, past episode transcripts, and more resources on the podcast tab. I'll catch you on the next episode as we continue to maximize our potential and get coachable.